everybody. Welcome to another episode of Deadline's New Hollywood Podcast. I am Amanda Nduka. Tell them who you are.
And I am Dino Ray Ramos. And today we have a wonderful guest from a great show. It's so good on really Hulu good. Called Woke, Shahshir Zameida.
Yeah, it's we talked about this in the episode, but it's on Hulu now. I binged all 8 episodes. They're 30-minute episodes, they're not that long, but I couldn't stop watching. It was so good.
As the title suggests, it's about being woke, or what, I guess, like woke culture.
Or being awoken, because like—
Awoken, yeah. So like, for those of you who don't know, the premise is about this Black cartoonist guy who kind of is just living his life and, you know, can we say like he doesn't really live, like he hasn't really lived in like being in his skin. Yeah, right?
Yeah, so he basically has an experience that sort of gets him to this woke phase.
Yeah.
And the show sort of follows him as he's discovering this new sort of self of him, of his. Shahshir plays a reporter named Ayana, who is hilarious. Like, I love like her comedic timing is just,
funny.
She's really funny. But it's a really, really good show. And Shahshir has done a lot of other things. I mean, she was in The Weeknd, which we had Stella Maggie on whenever that was coming out last year.
And also she's in a movie, Spree, a thriller.
Yeah.
Which is exciting.
Like it's a social media thriller movie. She's done a bunch of other stuff too, but.
And she's just like, I've seen her in stand-up before. She's hilarious. And she has a podcast with Nicole Byer, who also appears in Woke. And their podcast is called Best Friends. And that show, that I love listening to them talk. They deserve their own show together because they are really best friends, IRL.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Or they're really good friends. Yeah, they're really good friends. Okay. Yeah, okay. And it's just fun listening to them. But Woke is just it unpacks a lot of things.
It really does. Yeah. And it definitely made me think about like my upbringing and having sort of that same mentality that Keith Lamore Morris's character has at the beginning. And then having, like I said, everybody has their awoken moment. Mine isn't like the same as Keith, but I've definitely had my moment to where now my eyes are open and I'm seeing a lot more. I'm more aware of things that are going around than I was before. So it's very good. Like I said, I highly recommend it. It's 8 episodes, 30 minutes
quick
long.
Watch.
Long. Yeah, it's a quick watch, which we all love. And it's out on Hulu. But without further ado, here is Shahshir. Shahshir, what have you been up to during all this? Are you sort of taking your time to sort of reflect and relax, or are you still busy, sort of like we are?
Honestly, it goes in waves. There was for sure weeks where I was doing nothing at all, and now is a nice busy time where I'm doing press and talking about Woke and Spree and that's nice, like reflecting on the work that I've done before this time. And then, in general, just trying to do things that make me happy. Like, I've taken up roller skating, and that's nice.
Oh my God, so many people are doing roller skating. I've heard that I heard it's like hard to buy roller skates right now.
Truly, yeah.
Really? Where did you get yours from? Did you just like online,
eBay?
I'm guessing.
eBay. Oh my gosh, there is eBay. Dang.
Yeah, which is. It still exists. But
I should know that. Yeah, because I bought my Nintendo Switch on eBay because
there you go.
Yeah, no one like they were sold out everywhere.
And the people will buy them and then resell them and upcharge it, which sucks. But it's like, well, they have it and I want it.
Yeah, we'll talk about your roller skating adventures later.
Yeah.
But congratulations on Woke.
Thank you.
I could not. I watched the whole thing. Like I.
Oh, you did?
Yes. Yay. I could not. I mean, I don't know why. I'm just like I get really into like shows, especially like shows that I actually like, and I can't stop watching it. Like I have to, I'll stay up until I finish everything. So
thank you for watching. And it's, you know, it's short. They're all like 20 minutes. Yeah. So it's like, you can bang it out.
So yeah, it wasn't too hard, but I definitely enjoyed it. But for you, before we get to that, like, we just like to talk about, on the podcast, talk about sort of everybody's journey.
Their origin story, if you will.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You know, our journeys are different. And everybody has an interesting story. So where did it all start for you? When did you know you wanted to get into this business?
Oh man, there's like a few times I think I knew I was leading me to this path. Like, I was always a fan of comedy when I was younger, and I saw improv when I was in middle school. Like, saw it live. I saw a short form improv in downtown Indianapolis and was like, oh my God, this is magical. Like, they're just making things up so quickly and playing with each other. And then I was a huge fan of Whose Line Is It Anyway and that kind of stuff. And then when I got to college, I just for fun was like auditioning for musicals. And then eventually those friends I made from those musicals were auditioning for plays. And I was like, well, maybe I'll do that too. And then I had friends who were also auditioning for the improv team at my school. And I was like, yeah, maybe I'll do that too. And then it kind of just like started because I wanted to do something fun and also do something with my friends. But then it turned into like, whoa, I love this. Like, I really am getting a thrill out of affecting an audience and hearing them laugh or hearing them gasp or hearing them just make any kind of reaction or talk to me afterwards and say, whoa, that was so moving, or any of that. So I just wanted to continue that feeling. And I moved to New York in 2009 thinking I was going to do theater. I was going to be a Broadway star.
Ooh.
That didn't happen.
Wait, like, you said, what year did you move to New York?
2009.
What was like the big Broadway show? Do you remember?
Oh, what was the big Broadway show? I don't even know. I wasn't even at that level. I was auditioning for the off-Broadway shows, trying to level up to eventually audition for the Broadway shows. But I kept going back to the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater and watching improv shows, and then eventually started taking classes. And then I was like, I think I'm fully in. Like, by the end of 2009, I was like, I want to focus all my energy on comedy. And so I was doing stand-up, I was doing sketch, I was doing improv all at the same time and wearing myself ragged. But it was fun and I loved it and I loved doing it. And yeah, it came from a place of like, this is very fun. And then eventually I started seeing, oh, I could get jobs doing this.
I always like to ask people, especially comedians, because I find people who have comedic timing or are able to do this. So I find that so fascinating because it seems so hard. And I always think, like, I always wonder why comedy is not considered for Oscars, because I always think that comedy is a lot harder to do than drama.
It's harder, I would
say. Yeah.
When did you know that you had this ability, that you were able to be funny and then and do stand up and write comedy and all that stuff?
I actually knew in high school because I did this camp that was like a government camp, and it was called Girl State, and they just chose
like Boy State, right?
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes, but for girls. And and they chose two girls from each high school in the state, and then we go to a college campus for like a few weeks, and we learn about the government, we learn about the positions, what they do, and you're also running for office, so... I ran for lieutenant governor of my party and won.
Oh, okay.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations, you're a politician.
I did want to be a politician at one point in time, but then I realized I can do work in other ways. That seems like a lot.
Probably in much better, more efficient ways, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe less toxic.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. And then there was like a large election where we all had to write our own speeches. And I wrote a joke at the top of my speech that was like, to me, so innocuous, because there was a rickety elevator in our dorm. And I said something like, you better vote for me before you die in this elevator. And people were like, oh my God, like just dying. It killed. And And then people kept laughing throughout my speech, even though I didn't remember writing more jokes, but I think they just thought I was funny. And afterwards people were like, wow, you should do something where you're like speaking in front of people and like making them laugh. But none of us thought of stand-up comedian as a job. Like no one needed to be like, you should be a stand-up. They're just like, you should do something where you're speaking and
telling jokes. Like, and people laugh.
Yeah. Well, figure it out.
Right. Like, okay.
Good luck.
We gave you the path. You just need to follow it.
Yeah, basically. And yeah, even then I was like, that felt so good, but I still didn't know that comedy was what I wanted to do. But I was like, I just stored that in my brain. Like, that was a really nice feeling. And then I think the more things I did, the more I was like, oh, yes, comedy. Yeah. That is what I want to do.
Do you remember your first improv show and how it went? And were you nervous or how did it go?
Did you mess up?
Have you blocked it out of your mind?
Yeah.
Oh boy. I probably blocked it out of my mind. Yeah. I can't even think of my.
What's like your first memory of kind of like you hitting like, I guess, the pocket? I remember taking an improv class once and doing the whole thing. I was scared shitless. And I just admire the whole art of improv.
Yeah,
I don't know how y'all like.
One of the things that I wish I was good at, like improv.
Yeah, it really is a skill. It's you have to practice and know the rules in order to break the rules. But I started in college and we were truly just teaching ourselves how to do it, which is never good. Like we we don't know what we're doing, but we're like, well, we saw videos online and we took a couple classes in a workshop like in South Carolina, so hopefully we'll be okay. And I feel like we're just trying to do new things, which I love because we wanted to be different. And so we were trying to do long form stuff, but it was really a growing process because we would have scenes that were just so long. It was too long form. Yeah. It was too long for the audience, but they were fun. I just like creating stories and I feel like long form improv is a great vehicle for that because you have more time to like live in these characters and live in this world, and you get to actually create a story.
So you also did stand up and improv, which I think I don't want to say that there's a rivalry, but a lot of people don't have their foot in both camps because they're totally different.
Yeah.
And you know, how did you make that pivot? And you know, You've had like some roles in films and TV shows that aren't necessarily straightforward comedy. And how did doing stand-up and improv help inform your acting career?
Ooh, I feel like it all helps each other. Like I feel like because I did improv and stand-up and sketch at the same time, like the sketch helped me edit how much I write in my stand-up, and then the improv helped me be more comfortable on stage and like communicate with the audience and listen to what they're reacting to or talking to them directly. And yeah, I just feel like they all fed into each other. And then also improv definitely helps when filming scripted things like TV and movies, because sometimes people like when you punch up their words. And I like that because I like being able to put a little bit of myself into the character. And I just think it's more fun when you get to add things on the fly.
Speaking of character, I have to say I am digging. I feel like I vibe with Ayana. Like I feel like she's
good.
Her sarcasm is like matched. Like I just it, like she's a journalist.
Yes,
I know. I like connected with her as well.
Like so, it was like instantly. Like yeah, that's my girl. Anyways, when you first were introduced to this series, because I remember whenever we wrote about it on Deadline, I was like, this sounds interesting, but I wonder like where they're gonna go with this. What were your initial thoughts when you first read the script?
I was excited because like this show doesn't shy away from anything. You know, we address these issues head on and I like that. And also in the very first episode, the main character is getting physically attacked by the police. And the rest of the series is really him dealing with the aftermath. And I don't think I've seen too many things that talk about the lasting effects that Black people experience after a racially charged incident like that. You know, you see the incident some in one episode and then the next we just never talk about it again. But I like that it's like a through line throughout the whole series that we keep addressing, because that's life. You know, it doesn't just go away. Like, yeah, we do have to keep working. We have to keep going to school. We have to keep our lives going after things like this. But those effects are still very much with us. And I think that was something that I was really digging with the script, because I like that we are not afraid to talk about that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people, especially this year, are becoming more woke. And I really, there's a line that you said whenever you first meet Keith, and we're profiling a controversial Black, and he was like, I don't want to be controversial. And then you say something about you being Black by itself is controversial, or Black cartoonist. And I was thinking about that, and I'm like, I think a lot of times, like, especially people who maybe didn't grow up around like places where police brutality and things like that were very prominent, it's like it's hard to be. You get in a sense, you get like, oh, this is not, I don't want to be that radical person. I don't want to be somebody who stands up for, you know, because that's not something that I've experienced. But thinking about it, and I think I went through this too, it's like being Black is controversial, especially in different areas, is controversial in and of itself, and you can't avoid it, you know?
Totally. It's not like you have to talk about the most extreme Black experience, even if you haven't experienced it. You just talking about your experience as a Black person living in America is by default going to be different than a lot of people's experience. Yeah. So like the more you talk about it and the more we make it public and like in the mainstream, the more people can be empathetic to that experience and understand it a little bit more and talk to their friends about it and communicate with people, as opposed to like not thinking it exists because they've never seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting, like saying that, you know, people in the margins and people of color, queer people, you know, anyone who's been othered. I think I'm speaking from my experience is like, I didn't realize I was an other until I went into college.
Me
I
too.
Guess I would say.
Me too.
Yeah. And me and Amanda are both from Texas.
Yeah.
Amanda went to a very different college than I did.
But like even though I grew up around mostly white people, like there were, and looking back now, there were things that were very problematic that were going on around my friend groups and my teachers, but I just never really thought about it because, you know, my parents are immigrants. They didn't grow up here. So that it wasn't talked about at home. Like we got the talk, but it was more like, it seemed like it was like a talk that everybody has. Like, this is what you do when you get stopped by the police. You comply, you do all that stuff. So I just never, and honestly, like now that you're sort of, you know, whenever you become woke, sort of like Keith, you start noticing things, right? And I feel like
well, especially now, right?
And I feel like and sometimes I think, am I overthinking this and I'm making this into a situation that it's not, or am I legit to be irritated by something? So I think it's like, I mean, I think a lot of us are like really toting that fine line right now. Like you want to be an ally, you want to be able to, I guess, say, call things out that are not right, but at the same time, it's like,
there is a balance, because and that's like why another reason I like this show is because there are multiple Black people in the show with multiple perspectives, and
that's so good.
And I love that, because usually it's like one and then they're responsible for, you know, the whole race and like the opinion of our people. But it's nice to see people in different journeys. Like, it is a journey. Just because you're woke doesn't mean you're going to do everything right all the time. I'm constantly learning about new ways to communicate my ideas or like communicate to other people or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we see Keith, who's like lived his whole life as a Black man, but never thought he was going to get stopped and frisked. Never thought he was going to have an encounter where he would be targeted like that. And now he's got a new perspective on his white audience and like his art and all this stuff. And then you have Ayana, who has been woke and runs a very progressive paper and, you know, loves instigating and loves like making people think about these things. And you have Clovis, who's not interested in any of that.
Love Clovis.
Yes.
I love that character. He's hilarious.
But it's important to have all these perspectives in one piece so that we can actually think about it and analyze it and not be like, you know, they're right just because they're saying something that sounds good. Like, everyone can have a different opinion because we're all on a different journey.
Exactly. Was there something in particular about Ayana that you connected with when you were first sort of introduced to her?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely jive with her dogged, like, determination to get people to talk about real shit. Like, I'm not as, like, outwardly gung-ho as she is, but I do feel like I try to use my platform to inform people of things and speak my truth and talk about my experience as a Black woman. And, you know, whether either you'll connect to it or you'll learn or you'll disagree, whatever. But I want to be able to use my voice in a way that feels very real and authentic to me.
Yeah. That kind of spills into my next question I was going to ask you. But before we get into that, it's like the term woke, you know, when it first came out, everyone was all, woke. This is the thing, right?
Yeah.
And then I'll be honest, at times it got co-opted, right? And the kind of the meaning changed. And how do you think the term woke has changed in the past 6 months?
Ooh.
Let's unpack that.
I know. Yeah. It's interesting because I feel like it definitely started as a good thing. And then people have been using it as a negative thing. Like, oh, you're too woke or you're a social justice warrior, or, you know, whatever. But now I feel like this year, a lot of people really are experiencing an awakening where they're now seeing more into a world they never seen before. And I don't remember who said this, but there's like a quote that's like, once you have learned something, you can never be the same. Mm-hmm. Like you are now forever changed because you have new information. You can't be the person you were before when you didn't know that thing. So there's a lot of people now who are aware that, oh, police are straight up murdering people, or Black people go through this a lot more than I thought they did. Yeah. And it's happening in areas that I wouldn't think it would happen in. It's happening in nice neighborhoods. It's happening in bad neighborhoods. It's happening in neighborhoods that don't have drugs. Like, it's happening everywhere. Yeah. And thankfully, it's shaking people up. Not everybody, but some people. And, you know, and hopefully that will spread. And people are acting more on it, too. You know, we had a whole summer of protests. And that's beautiful. And I feel like because everyone was home and we had to be home, people are paying attention more because they're like, I just have time to read. Listen and talk to my friends about this stuff.
Yeah, it's very much I keep on thinking about this, and as depressing as it is, like, we're all at home and we can't go out to a restaurant, we can't go to Dave and Buster's. I don't know why I said that. I don't know why that came
out. That's the biggest miss. Yeah.
No, you know why I said that? Because my birthday was in April and I was planning on going to medieval times.
Whoa.
And then of course, the pandemic hit, nothing, you know, we couldn't go. But, you are a face that a lot of people recognize, and you mentioned this about using your platform, but, you know, as you were coming up in the industry as a comedian, as an actress, did you feel that, you know, this is discussed in the show, you know, did you feel the need to use your platform, and, you know, and how cognizant were you in using it? Like, I guess, for lack of a better word, like, choosing your battles, I guess you would say, because I think we've all talked about this, like, if you're like the only, a lot of onus is put on you, and then you put a pressure on yourself, and then it becomes a burden, and then you resent it. That kind of journey. Yeah. How do you just navigate this space of having this platform and using it to kind of make you feel better and also make the world better?
I mean, honestly, I feel like I kind of like stumbled into a platform. Like, I've always been talking about being a woman and being Black, because that's, you gotta write what you know. And I don't think I realized that was affecting people in a way until after the show, until people come up to me and be like, oh my gosh, I had that same experience, or like, whoa, I've never heard that story before, or like anything like that. And then I was like, oh, this is actually kind of important that I keep talking about this stuff. But it really came from a place because I was like, I'm just going to talk about my life. I didn't think it was radical to talk about, you know, how my annoyances of people touching my hair, or like my name and people, how they can't pronounce it, or an encounter I had with the police or an encounter I had at the hospital or whatever. You know, I'm just talking about my experiences, but to a lot of people, that's new information. Yeah. And I do it in a way that's like truthful and not in a way that's like, what can I do to teach people? You know, I'm not trying, my goal is not to be like, how can I affect change? I hope change happens. I hope people get something out of it that motivates them to action. But mostly I just want to talk about stuff that I want to talk about. I just want to, you know, tell stories that make me feel good, that I enjoy telling, and that makes an audience feel good, that I can connect to. And then hopefully things will come from there. Like ACLU asked me to be an ambassador in 2014 or 15. And it was a huge compliment because I think they just saw my work and they were like, what you're doing aligns with what we're trying to do. And we want to, you know, have a symbiotic relationship where you can talk to our audience and also we can put our issues in a platform that your audience is seeing. And I love that. And and I think that helps me see that I'm doing something that's like on the right path. Like, oh, this is clearly good and people like this.
Yeah.
I think that it's so like, you know, I guess there's a lot of people with platforms. There's that fine line of like, oh, I'm doing it because I want attention. And then it's like, oh, I'm just doing it because this is what I do. And I think that's like very admirable that you kind of, you're not trying to show. You're like, oh, hey guys, I'm woke.
You know? Yeah. No, that authenticity, I think it's really, really important, especially when it comes to like, you know, advocacy, even if you're not, an advocate per se by title or by profession or whatever you want to call it. I think either way, authenticity is just what I think is really going to get people on board and not questioning, you know, your intention. Because I do, like you said, there's a lot of advocates out there that are, you know, that a lot of people are questioning right now. So
But hey, I'll take the fake ones too. Like, as long as, I mean, whatever.
I was thinking about that too. I know there's people have an issue with Sean King. I don't really follow him, but I've seen his stuff. I'm like, at least he's bringing attention to these really egregious issues.
But it's like, I think one of the, when I was interviewing someone before, because we were talking about virtue signaling, right? It's like people, companies, corporations, people who weren't woke before, who are all of a sudden woke now, saying like, oh, we're gonna, you know, do this. I brought up the argument. I was all, I don't know if I like virtue signaling. I don't know if it's good. And then someone was all, actually I do, because then you could hold someone accountable. Like, you said this.
Totally.
Or,
yeah.
You know, why aren't you following up with it? And it kind of just lights a fire underneath everyone, I think.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like, we want to see that trend keep going. And if you don't, we can note it. We can see it. Like, you tweeted a lot about this in June. Where is it now?
The receipts, guys.
Yes.
Shira, what do you think about cancel culture? Are you for it?
Yeah, especially in the comedy scene.
Yeah.
It's tricky. There's parts I like because some people do need to be canceled. Some things need to be canceled. Some companies need to be canceled. But then there's also moments where I'm like, well, this is comedy. Like, we also are trying to like joke and make fun of things. And I think you can make anything funny. It just depends on the delivery and what you're saying. But there's definitely people who have misstepped and said things they shouldn't have or didn't have the execution that they're capable of doing. And then they get canceled.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I also like redemption. Like, I want to believe that people can learn from their mistakes and grow. And I want to see that. And, you know, I don't need you to like show me a video of you like getting counseling or like
through your actions. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, appropriately apologize if you did something that deserves an apology and work on yourself. Mm-hmm. Actually do the work. Cause that's what real people in the real world do. Like, if you, say something lewd to somebody at a coworker in an office, you're gonna get reprimanded or fired, or there's some sort of like sexual harassment training that's gonna happen. Yeah. It's not just like, oh, well, we'll just figure it out later. You know, like, there are steps. So yeah. That has to be for entertainment too. I mean, and it's hard because there's so many of us and it's like a loose format and people are like, well, you know, they're in the public eye. So I guess the public court is the one that is going to decide their fate, but they can decide their own fate and like work on yourself.
Exactly.
And yeah, I'm definitely not in the mindset of like, we should be allowed to say whatever we want because
it's kind of like a case by case basis, right? I would say. You can't just blanket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's hard to like really talk about it because it's like, you can't, there's certain things that do need to be canceled and certain things that are like, well, what was the person really trying to say? Or like, there's nuance to it.
I felt really bad because I was like, cancel Kanye for the longest time. And then I was like, well, he does have, like, when he admitted he had like a, you know, a mental disorder, I felt really bad. So I sort of like changed my perspective on Kanye. I mean, I still don't listen to Kanye, but you know.
Yeah. I mean, like, more power to those more people power who to him. Stand by him.
Do your thing.
I choose Kanye. I choose not. Yeah,
we have more of an understanding of why this is happening.
Yeah.
And that's great. Yeah, exactly. But that doesn't mean we have to consume all his stuff.
And I think also there's a lot to unpack with what Kanye has been through and what he
did. No, I know.
That takes a long time.
Yeah, that's where cancel culture gets sort of murky. But anyways, so obviously Woke is out. I watched all 8 episodes. It's amazing.
I mean, you're ahead of me. I only watched like the one.
I couldn't stop it. But Shishir, what are you most excited for people to see when they watch the show?
I'm excited for people to see how we talk on the show. Like, we do talk and have conversations about issues that might be scary to certain people or taboo or like a hot button issue. But we just talk about it, which is how I talk to my friends. Like, we just talk about what's happening in the world or our lives, and then we move on and do something else. And I hope people watch that and they're like, that can be your life too. You know, you can also talk to your friends about issues that you might think are scary or might kill the mood, but it's like, well, they have thoughts on it too. Or if they don't, talk about that. And and then you can move on and live your life and do whatever you want after that. But it doesn't have to like be like, okay, we need to really sit down and have a meeting to talk about race.
It's not like
an
after school special.
Yeah. Exactly. Not at all. Yeah. It's like, this
on
is
a
just
a very
life.
Special episode of Woke.
Totally. Yeah. Every episode is a special episode.
Oh, yeah. And shout out Nicole, oh my gosh, hilarious. Nicole.
Yes.
JV. You guys together, I mean, honestly, y'all need your own show. We know
that's what we've been saying.
It's so funny. I honestly guessed every single like animated voice because I know which one JV's, but I couldn't guess Tony Hale for some reason.
He sounds different.
Yeah, he sounds different. I'm like, everybody else like sounds like they would sound, but he's a little different.
Yeah, truly all-star cast for the animation.
It's hilarious.
And also, like, the one thing that made me crack up the most was the first episode, which is, like, the only one I watched when he's I guess it's the press conference, and that guy's dressed up as Toast, and he's like, oh, you're just going to come here in blackface? I was like, oh, my God.
Yes, I highly recommend it. Hopefully, we'll hear news about a season 2 soon, because there
season
has
two,
to be
a three.
Hopefully, I know
going
with that ending. It has to be. A
and it's also I mean, really yeah. amazing how the timing of this is like so. I mean, it's sad that it's coming out during this time. Like, what's happening is sad, but it's also good that a show like
very
this
timeline.
Is coming out. It's like all the stars aligned. And
yeah,
it,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
it's funny because people are like, oh, it's so timely. Like, everyone's. You know, we are in a moment where people are talking about police brutality a lot and are open to talking about it. But this show was written like
exactly
a year ago and then like thought of years before that. So it's like, yes, it's timely now, but also would have been timely last year, the year before, the year before.
10 years ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. And it's perfect. And I do think it's like, it cuts through the seriousness with these animated voices, but it's like what's putting the pill in the cake or, you know, whatever, like in a treat and kind of injecting you with stuff that maybe you wouldn't have known. I mean,
did you guys shoot during the pandemic?
We shot truly right before. I remember hearing about coronavirus while we're in Vancouver.
Doesn't Clovis mention coronavirus in the?
I think it was like an add-in later because they just recorded the voiceover.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Okay, yeah, that's why. No, I didn't. I just because it was like a one time that he mentioned it, but he was like something coronavirus, and then I was like, and then there was a girl with a mask on too, so I wasn't sure.
Okay.
yeah, I told you I'm
trying to be
they're like, oh, we shot this yesterday.
but other than season 2 of Woke, I'm just gonna put it out there.
Yeah, we're gonna
put in the universe.
What else do you have coming up next that you can talk about?
Well, I'm in a movie called Spree that came out a few weeks ago that's on video on demand on Amazon, iTunes. It's a thriller, and that's a departure for me.
It's a very interesting movie,
Yeah, it's about social media and people's obsession with it and their negative relationship to it. Joe Keery's in it, who's amazing, and it's a really wild movie.
I love me a thriller.
And I want to do more it has comedy in it, so it's not completely different, but I want to do more stuff that's showing the audience I could do more than just make you laugh.
Like a slasher or a good
or a movie, sci-fi,
all of that.
Are you a sci-fi person, nerdy?
I am, yeah. I mean, I come from nerds. My name is from Star Trek.
And... Oh, that's right.
Oh, right. Is it a plant? You were named after?
It's a rose, yeah. Okay. Or a flower, a crystal flower.
Okay. So, were your parents Trekkies? Or your parents Trekkies?
Yeah, obviously.
Well, did they celebrate Star Trek Day the other day? I think it was yesterday or something like that.
I don't know. They're they're in their 60s now. I think, I don't know if they're celebrating the day anymore. But huge fans, and I'm also a sci-fi consumer, and so I would love to be in space in the future anywhere.
Yeah, I love me.
We could make that happen.
Yeah. We're putting all this stuff out there in the universe.
Absolutely.
So we're manifesting it. Okay, so we like to wrap up with this segment we call the facts or the FAQs.
Okay.
Just random fun questions. So your first question is, what is a show or movie that you're embarrassed for liking or other people make fun of you for liking?
Ooh, a show or movie.
Your guilty pleasure that people like, girl, what you doing?
I mean, I think people might think this is boring, but I've been obsessed with Tiny House Nation lately, which is just building tiny houses. I'm excited. I'm how are they gonna put that chair in there?
But that is interesting though.
The very niche stuff.
Yes.
Because I just found out that HBO Max is putting on there's a pottery competition. And when I got it in my inbox, I was all, ooh.
I feel really excited. Getting older. You're oh my gosh, how are they going to make a home? How are they going to create that thing?
Okay, we had Michelle Buteau on. I mean,
I love her.
Come on later, but we asked her this, and I want to ask you this as well. One has to go: Beyonce, J-Lo, Rihanna, or Janet Jackson.
Same reaction.
Michelle gave us the same reaction. You could plead the fifth, or you could add someone in there to take out.
Okay. Beyonce, Rihanna, Janet Jackson, and J-Lo.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll say J-Lo because I legit forgot that she was on the list.
No shade to J-Lo, though.
No shade to J-Lo.
J-Lo, yeah.
Wonderful career. Still killing it. I mean, I was truly screaming in a bar during her Super Bowl performance. Oh, my God. She's still killing it.
She's looking okay, she's looking so good. I'm not trying to be, superficial, but it's how?
Like, right?
I think
she's 50, right?
She has, close to there, maybe 49. But
and remember when she sported the Versace thing at the at some runway show?
Versace show, wasn't it?
Yeah, she re-wore that outfit, and she was just like slaying it. Yeah. I don't know why. She looks so unfair.
Well, damn, now I'm like waxing poetic about J-Lo, and I'm like, maybe I should keep her.
This is hypothetical. So J-Lo stands out there. Please do not take offense. And don't
come Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, I love all of them so much. So it's very, very hard.
You made that face.
Yes.
Okay, so you have your rollerblades already.
Yes.
And now you're part of a skating crew.
Yes, our skate gang. We're a gang.
What would your name be? What would your rollerblade name be?
Ooh. Sidewinder.
That is threatening.
And I feel like I would like really like
sides because she'll
yeah. I feel like I'd be good at like weaving through people too.
Yeah, I like that. Sidewinder.
I do like that. And I remember like late at night, like when I was younger, there would be those roller derby kind of competitions on show, like on TV. And I would just, those are so interesting. It's like so exciting.
They're really badass. They're really like hurting each other.
Like,
That movie, Whip It, with Drew Barrymore and Ellen Page. That was a while back. That was a really fun one. Okay. What is your number one pet peeve?
Mouth noises. Like, if someone's, like, chewing gum with their mouth open or just chewing anything and their mouth is slightly open, I just, like, go insane. Yeah.
So do you not like it when, like, AMSR, like, there's a microphone here. Like, like, smacky and
cannot.
Like, saliva, like, very wet. Sorry, that sounds gross.
It is though. Yes. It's got a wet ass mouth.
You're just our guest, you know. Nice. You never want to come back. Would you rather go to jail for 4 years for something you didn't do or get away with something horrible you did but always live in fear of getting caught?
Oh my gosh. Whoa. What a question.
That's a really hard one, actually.
It's hard.
That's why I put it in.
It's good. Maybe get away with something because there's always a little chase. You know, there's always a little danger. And then I have a reason to, like, go to different countries.
Yeah.
Change my identity. Yeah.
Brighter side. Half full.
Yes.
Half full.
Yeah. I can be whoever I want because I am on the run.
Exactly.
And then, your life would be more exciting. Especially.
Than jail? Yeah, I don't want to go to jail at all.
Because, like, you would go for 4 years, come out, and then your life would be normal, right?
It would not be normal because you were, it's always going to be on your record.
Oh, shoot. Well, I have guessed.
You have guessed?
Someone just rang the doorbell, but anyway, sorry, keep going.
But did you order Postmates or something?
No, I'm not expecting anybody.
Okay, well, that's scary.
Yeah, that's how people get killed. Don't answer the door.
Anyways.
Okay. So our last question is: we asked this to all our guests. Is there an underrepresented voice in the industry, whether it's an actor, writer, producer, storyteller, creator, or anyone that is not in the mainstream that you think deserves more shine and recognition? You could have multiple answers.
I think I'm gonna have multiple. Yeah, I'm gonna name some stand-ups that who I love.
Yes.
I'm gonna say Yamanika Saunders, who is a hilarious comedian in New York. She's done some things, like she's been on Comedy Central. She has a Netflix special. I think it's The Degenerates, like the nasty stand-up special. But she herself is just like so funny. Like she'll make you laugh till you cry. And I just want the world to know who she is, and I want her to be out there because she's, I just think she's like gonna kill it.
Her name one more time, because now I want to watch, because I need to watch it now.
Yeah. Yamanika Saunders.
Okay.
And then another person is Naomi McPerrigan, who I've been a fan of for years and years and years. Very funny comic. She's written for show. She's on Galaxy Quest right now. Mm-hmm. But I need her to have like 10 stand-up specials because she's just so funny and her voice is so unique. And like everyone loves her. She did 2 Dope Queens. But it was like a very short set. And like I just want people to see a whole show that's like uniquely hers. Mm-hmm. And then I'll say Shalewa Sharp, who is another funny Black woman. Very dry humor. She kind of has like a very like like mama feel, if that makes sense. Like she's just like telling you how it is. And yeah, I just want everyone to know who she is. Look up these women.
Yes, definitely, look them up. Definitely. Cool.
Shashir, thank you so much for doing this, being here. It was so nice meeting you. Like I said, it's hilarious. Like everybody go watch it. It's great.
It's out now on Hulu.
You can watch the whole show.
You can watch it. I did it in a couple hours, so it's doable. Yeah.
And I'm just slow, so it takes me a while to.
You're savoring it.
Yeah, I'm savor watching.
But thank you so much again, and congrats on everything.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.